You're listening to WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your host, Jeff Chandler.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to WordPress Weekly for Friday, August 30th, 2013. This is episode 119, and I am your host, Jeff Chandler. And we're back this week behind the microphone. I should say I'm back this week. There's no one else here but me. And I was just chatting before the show here in the WordPress Weekly chat room, which you could find clicking the podcast link on wptavern.com. And I said, I was questioning people in the chat room. I says, who does a podcast on Friday night? And you know, I got two thumbs pointing back at me, this guy. So here I am back in the saddle, so to speak. Last week I didn't do a show because I was at WordCamp Grand Rapids. Fantastic city. I've never been there before. Thanks to Brian Richards and every one of the volunteers and organizers that put that event together. It was fantastic. I learned a couple things about the city. A, they are very big on brewing beer, big-time beer city. In fact, I think they were voted number one beer city in the United States. They tied for first last year in one of these polls, and they have a couple of different breweries there. And I'm not too much of a beer guy, but I did have a beer one day that was raspberry-flavored, and it was pretty good. Just a fantastic city. And it's one of those cities where you get downtown, and you can still see the horizon in some parts of the city. It's not like you're inundated with these big, tall buildings. And then they have the Grand River that flows through the city. Overall, just beautiful. I think I'm going to take my wife up there for a visit sometime because that's how much I enjoyed it. As for the event itself, fantastic. Sessions went well. The after party went really well. And overall, everybody involved in that event should be proud of themselves because it was a great event, and looking forward to possibly going back next year. So I want to give everybody an update in terms of what's going on with the show. Earlier this week, WordPress Weekly was accepted as a podcast into the iTunes store, complete with a fresh new cover art image courtesy of podcastdesigns.com. I worked with them for a little bit. Not only was the show accepted into iTunes, but you can also subscribe to the show via RSS now. I've also submitted the show to Stitcher Radio, which is the first I've heard of that website, but it enables listeners to tune into the show on demand if you're using the Stitcher mobile app, which I think is pretty cool. So all of these different subscription options for the show will be available in the show notes post. And just for anyone out there listening, maybe somehow you came across the show on TalkShoe, I am no longer using TalkShoe.com. Thank goodness. I'm very happy to kick that site and service to the curb. So, with all that said, I want to give you an update on some of the headlines this week. Probably the biggest headline that happened this week, which was today, of course, was automatic updates for WordPress 3.7. Now, Andrew Nason published an article on the Make WordPress Core blog that outlined the process for how automatic updates will be developed for WordPress 3.7. Now, 3.7 will initially support automatic upgrades to minor point releases. For example, 3.7 to 3.7.1. That would be considered an automatic upgrade to a minor release. Now, at some point in the future, it will also include automatically upgrading to major versions as well. And the debate around this feature has been whether it should be opt-in for existing users or opt-out. And there's quite a good conversation going on today on the WP Tavern website. That was until Andrew Nason came by and says, hey, what's going on here? And he left this very interesting, awesome comment that he describes as epic, and I'm going to have to agree with him. But he basically outlined the reasons for why they're going this route, what's going to be happening, how they're developing it, and he outlined in his comment, he linked to a number of the different core philosophies of WordPress. So, you know, after reading his comment and giving it some more thought, I'm just going to sit back, give the team the benefit of the doubt, and just see what happens. He came across, nailed the points on all levels, and it'll be interesting. As for me personally, I love the idea of having automatic upgrades for minor point releases because usually those never break anything. Usually those are just changed files. I'm not so much having to worry about stability or things breaking. In fact, even with major versions, I don't remember the last time I upgraded WordPress and something broke. So they've gotten very good at making upgrades stable. Some of the concerns out there is whether or not they're going to introduce automatic upgrades for plugins and themes, which are two entirely different beasts. And if we, a lot of people have noted the example of Next Gen Gallery, how they recently the upgrade to 2.0 was didn't go over so well on some websites. And if you were doing automatic plugin upgrades, and let's say you were on vacation or you had 20 different sites using Next Gen Gallery with automatic plugin upgrades, you would have been in an entire mess of trouble. In fact, you probably would have had to call my guest tonight, WP Sitecare, to clean up the mess. I think in the future, automatic WordPress upgrades, I think they'll work. I think the fear of them breaking the site is just because we haven't really experienced it full bore yet. I don't really think we have much to worry about, but no, I could be proven wrong, but the guys, Nathan and Deanne, the two folks who are behind the automatic upgrades on WordPress, their number one concern is making sure that the site does not break, and if it does, a way to get out of the upgrade path and still have a functional site. So lots to talk about there. I think we could do an entire show there. Maybe I'll bring Andrew Nathan on in the near future to kind of give us a little more insight into that specific feature. So one of the other things this week that I thought was really cool is I reported on the state of WordPress themes. Earlier this week, I had a chance to interview Ben Sibley of support-.com to discuss his findings in his state of the WordPress themes infographic. The interview comes in about 15 minutes long, and it's on wptavern.com. If you just do a search for it, I'm sure you'll find it. You can look for it and listen to the interview right there on the post. And just a couple of interesting data points from his survey. They tallied 1,001 different theme shops. 300 of those shops were responsible for 4,044 WordPress themes, which, you know, that alone is incredible. You think 300 theme shops, 4,000 or so themes. I'd better not hear anybody ever say that there is a lack of variety when it comes to WordPress themes, that they're all boring, because they have 1,001 theme shops, but only 300 of those were 4,000 WordPress themes. So that just means there's and if I look at my feed reader, there are themes created and released every single day. It's incredible. Now, 872 of those 1,001 theme shops were selling on ThemeForest, which surprised me, and 88% of the 1,001 theme shops in the sample offered lifetime support, which, if we take WooThemes as an example, that shouldn't be the case the next time around when they conduct a survey, because lifetime support is not really sustainable. And that's one of the reasons why WooThemes changed their pricing structure to get rid of the unlimited nomenclature. And you know, going back to that one data point of 872 of the number of tally themes were selling on ThemeForest, I didn't realize, I knew ThemeForest was big, but I didn't know they were that big. And it's just kind of mind-boggling to me that 88%, that's over two-thirds, that's almost three-thirds, but it's, that is a lot. I mean, that is a huge audience, and even if you're an established company, in fact, they're already doing this. Studio Press, I think, is not selling on ThemeForest. iThemes, maybe, don't quote me on that, I think iThemes might be selling on ThemeForest, because they have such a huge audience and market just to themselves that it would be foolish not to sell themes on ThemeForest. That's how big they are. Just incredible. And if you want to, I highly recommend doing a search. I'll have it linked up in the show notes post and checking out all the various data points in the infographics. It's very interesting. And the last headline I want to get to before we get to our special guest tonight is a Mollum security breach. Mollum, M-O-L-L-O-M. Is a service by Acquia, same people behind Drupal. I received an email this weekend from Mollum notifying me that they had a security breach. Now, according to their official blog post on the matter, the breach was discovered on August 21st, and It's a now Mullum is a service managed by Acquia, a commercial open source software company providing product services and technical support for the open source Drupal social publishing system. And according to the email, data that may have been compromised includes usernames, account contact information, passwords, Mullum public and private keys, which are needed to use the service, and billing transaction logs. Now, they have stated in a blog post that PayPal account information was not stored on the affected servers. So while important financial information was not kept on the servers, you are encouraged to monitor your account because this is a service that you could pay for. They do have paid accounts for Mullum. And just kind of keep an eye on your account and make sure nothing fishy is going on there. So I don't have any sound effects, but that's going to be the headlines of the week. And now we're going to – I'm going to bring on my special guest this evening, and I've been looking forward to this interview all week. And my special guests are Rami Abraham, and you may know his name from WPHierarchy.com, I believe. He took Michelle Shulp created this really cool-looking template hierarchy that shows how – templates are structured in WordPress, and Rami kind of made it interactive. It was really cool. Gave it its own domain. And my other guest is Ryan Sullivan, and they both work for a site called WPSiteCare.com, which is a website dedicated to supporting customers so you don't have to. In fact, I've given them the nickname of the AAA of WordPress support. And I think I'm going to copyright that, so if they want to use that, I can make some coin off of them. But Ryan and Rami, thank you guys for being on the show today. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having us.
Excellent. Thank you for having us.
And just so people listening can kind of put a voice to the name, I'm going to have Ryan introduce himself first and tell us what you do, and then Rami, you tell us what you do.
Yeah. So I'm Ryan. This is the matching voice, and I actually started founded WP SiteCare in June of last year, and I live in Salt Lake City, Utah, and we've had a lot of good things happening, and so brought Rami on a couple of months ago to help, and the direction is good. Lots of people needing. You know, needing that AAA help.
And Rami, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm Rami. I'm a developer at WP SiteCare. As Ryan mentioned, I've been there a couple months. It's been a crazy ride so far. And yeah, I love doing WordPress support.
And did I get the domain right? Is it WPHierarchy.com?
Yep, that's the one. Awesome design by Michelle.
Yes.
With loop examples and modal pop-ups coming shortly.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you saw this, but there's a new website out there called wp-wallpaper.com. It's a site that has all kinds of images dedicated to WordPress to use as desktop backgrounds, and the most popular image on there so far was from Michelle Shulp of the template hierarchy. I thought that was really cool.
It's my laptop background right now.
Nice. Do you ever find yourself clicking on the different hierarchies thinking it's going to take you right to the codex?
I've done it once or twice.
I knew you would. So I guess you guys could go in turn or out of turn, whoever wants to answer first. But what inspired both of you to create WPSiteCare.com? Or Ryan, was that simply your idea and you brought Rami on?
Yeah, so it was something I started and then brought Rami on a few months ago, but kind of the inspiration behind it is, so it helps to know a little bit about my background, but my background before WP SiteCare was working in healthcare, electronic healthcare records administration. And so what I did there is I was a sysadmin there. I made sure that, you know, super crazy security surrounding healthcare records and availability is super important. So had to make sure that, you know, records were always online and available. And you do that for long enough, you know, in corporate environments, and you start exploring. And a couple years ago, so probably like 2009, I actually just got found WordPress for a personal blog, but really caught the open source bug at that point, and just started doing
Once you get that bug, man, you can't get rid of it.
Yeah, no. And it's not, nothing I'm even trying to get rid of anymore. So it was just a totally different feel, you know, from moving from the corporate world, and then started doing some freelancing and consulting and that kind of thing, and just started noticing all of these companies, these dev shops and these agencies are building sites and then handing them off to customers, and customers really not knowing up from down at that point. Like, or even people who are just new to the whole WordPress scene, not really knowing how to get started. And so that's kind of when, you know, you see all these tech support companies and all the things they do, but I wanted to run a support company that was super niche and like super application specific, because then we could really just be like, we could really serve that community. I'm trying not to use the word expert, but we want to be able to like really be able to support people for this one application, and in a growing space, I mean, it just made a lot of sense.
And Rami, what is it that you've been brought on now to WP Site Care? What is it that, what are your primary duties at the site?
Well, I interestingly came from the exact opposite direction, doing a lot of freelance overflow for agencies, serving as lead developer at an agency around here, and that's what we were doing, because we didn't have the staff to provide that kind of white glove support, and a lot of that happened. And at the same time, I started noticing many more informed clients, those with existing WordPress sites, some with in-house developers at times, really just needed that extra level of care and attention and support. Server-related things, a lot of times, nuances of any number of plugins, theme frameworks, and so on. And it got a lot more attractive to me. I like that work a lot more. And I just kind of stumbled into meeting Ryan earlier this summer. So the range of tasks really is pretty broad. Everything from custom plugin and theme development to deep loading marketplace themes, unhacking stuff, HD access, rewrites, stuff like that.
So in a nutshell, WP Site Care offers support for pretty much just all things WordPress. If it has to do with WordPress and you have a problem, WP Site Care is there to try and help you fix it. Would that be a good summarization of the site?
Yeah, kind of. So we do a lot more on our website right now, and this is actually in the process of getting updated, but you know, we kind of present maintenance plans, but we actually have a whole support arm that is what really keeps us busy day to day. And it's all of those troubleshooting things. Pretty much everything except for building new sites is what we do. And I love the pace. Lots of, you know, agencies or developers, they'll work on a project for 2, 3, 4 months. And, you know, we'll do 60 in 1 month. So it's just like, you know, every day at work is different, and that's something I was kind of really seeking out.
So I was excited to bring you guys on the show and talk to you about everything you guys are doing at WP Site Care, because a few years ago I spoke with somebody that created a website that was pretty much along the same idea as what you guys are doing. And if you remember, it's called WP Help Center, and it was created by Alex King. And that was the first time I was introduced to the idea of 24-hour support for WordPress users. And I'm laughing because it was through telephone. And just as an aside, I was talking about support at WordCamp Grand Rapids. I did a panel session, and one of my questions was, how do you provide support? Email, forums, ticketing systems, or phone. And the crowd started laughing at me when I said phone, like that's a joke now. I mean, like nobody uses phones anymore. But so the WP Help Center had actual phone support, and I tested it out, and I actually called him, and I had I made up some problem I had, and he helped me. He worked me through it, and I thought, okay, well, that's pretty cool. Now, did WP Help Center in any way help shape the way WP Site Care does business? Was there any inspiration from that site at all?
Not initially, because to be completely honest, I didn't know it existed when I started this company, but I did find it later, and you know, the site is still there, and kind of their whole model and pricing structure and everything is still front and center. And so after finding that, after kind of overviewing it, and Alex actually wrote a blog post I read once about what kind of why that failed, why WP Help Center failed.
Yeah.
And that actually played a big role in how I kind of looked at things going forward and how I kind of wanted to shape WP Site Care and not make those same mistakes.
Yeah, and it's great that you say that because I think that's probably one of the reasons why Alex King published that post, so people would learn from his mistakes if they're going to go in the same realm of business or whether they're going to launch a business of their own. And there's lessons to be learned in that post. And in fact, I think WP Help Center, I tried accessing their website. It was offline. I couldn't get it to load before the show, but I know they're still around, and I can't remember the year, but Alex King sold the site to someone or some other group, and they're actually maintaining the site now, but I'm unsure of its status, if they're actually supporting customers or if it's just a placeholder. But really fascinating idea at the time, and it was disappointing to a lot of people to see that Alex King couldn't make the site work. But so far, since the launch of WP Site Care, have you run into any issues where it looks like you're being unsustainable? I mean, what specific lessons did you learn from Alex King that you implemented into WP Site Care to make sure you guys wouldn't have the same fate?
Yeah, so the biggest thing there is getting out of... So the tricky thing with support is pricing, you know, and that's tricky with every service, but support specifically because you have to, you know, you're very much trading your time for money.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that we've done and well, the things that we've tried to do is, and that we plan on doing more of is developing additional income streams. So, and some of the things that we do are a lot more scalable than others, too. So maintenance plans, those have a lot better time trade-off than, you know, maybe troubleshooting, you know, a jQuery conflict in a theme. Those are two things that, so we kind of like really, and that's why the maintenance plans are very front and center on the site, too. So we have some other things in the works too, as far as adding those additional income streams and making it so that, you know, some of those things that don't require so much trading time for money, because I think that's the biggest pitfall in any kind of support scenario.
Any thoughts or additions there, Rami?
Well, no, that's pretty much it.
I mean, I at this session I moderated at WordCamp Grand Rapids. If I had a nickel for every time the word support was mentioned, I'd be rich. But you know, I asked him. I said, "What's the most expensive?" There were two theme guys and two plugin guys, and I said, "Hey, what's the most expensive part of your business?" And I already knew the answer, and of course the answer was support. And pricing is a touchy subject that has been discussed a large amount of times already. Of course, Chris Lima has been on top of things, and he's written a lot of great insight into pricing, as well as a lot of other people. Where, you know, if you don't price your products, your service, your time just right, and you end up spending most of your time doing support, you could find yourself in a situation where you're doing so much support, and with the plans you set up, that now you're losing money because you didn't price it right for the amount of money to cover the support queries, the support volume that you've now have to take care of. So pricing is that, and you know, pricing is weird because there's no set hard fast rule about it. It's all about experimentation to find out what your audience, what your market is going to like, and kind of playing around with it till you find something that fits.
It's an excellent point. It's a living, breathing thing, the pricing structure, and needs to be constantly revised. Likewise, on the customer side of that, leaving it respectfully open-ended. Hey, this is the problem, and historically it's been this much for this general type of issue, but it could also be these other things. And finding a pragmatic way to phrase that in a friendly way is just as important as the actual price.
Well, and I think what you see happen just in general, not necessarily in WordPress terms, with any type of support business, is as they scale, they start looking for cheaper alternative for help, and you know, the quality of service drops out of control, and you know, people aren't getting their problems solved. And so it's something that, as a business owner, you know, I think about all the time, because that's not something I'm really willing to sacrifice at any point. But kind of my thinking is the actual reverse of that. I have a mindset of continue to provide high quality support and to be able to facilitate that. And you're going to get enough word of mouth and established referral business to scale, and because you're going to start bringing in bigger clients and bigger contracts, and those are the types of things that are going to really sustain the business. But you know, I think the race to the bottom from a support standpoint is just a stupid model. Makes no sense.
Right. So, speaking of support, we're getting reports here that says that the stream's cutting in and out, and maybe I think I mentioned Chris Lima's name, and boom, you know, something shattered on YouTube. But it says we're on air and we're broadcasting, so I'm going to continue on with the show and hope that the final product catches everything that we've been talking about. So, speaking of support, what is causing the most support queries for you on WPSiteCare.com? Are you seeing, is it mostly themes? Is it plugins? Is it WordPress itself? You know, what is it that is causing the most trouble for WordPress users?
I'll let you take that first, Rami.
Well, it's the big things. A lot of more eloquent developers than I have written about extensively. Shortcode conflicts, jQuery conflicts, nightmare bloated themes, plugins like Super Mega Plus, Plus Pro Slider 2000, a lot of cleanup, generally speaking.
Yeah, one interesting thing that, I mean, we do a lot of the standard stuff, right? I mean, we do a lot of host migrations. In fact, we get a fair amount of people who are unhappy with X-Host, and so they come to us, and we get them moved, and we get a fair amount for that type of thing, because really all that people want is for their stuff to be online and for it to work.
Yeah.
And so we do get a fair amount of that. A lot of this, you know, a lot of the bloat stuff, you know, just poorly coded stuff that Rami's talking about. And some of the, I mean, we get the panicked support tickets, you know, for the hacked site. We get, But in general, it's usually some kind of it's usually some kind of plugin issue, whether it be way too many plugins that are, you know, garbage, or, you know, bad configurations, or we get a lot of people submitting tickets for, like, I set up caching and my whole site broke. Those are the kinds of things we field quite a bit, but it's almost always. Not almost always. It's frequently either plugin, theme related, or hosting related.
So that, you know, we were talking about things breaking. And, you know, have you noticed a sharp increase or maybe decrease in the amount of people generating tickets saying that their site is hacked lately, or has that kind of died off, or is it just every day one or two people show up saying their site was hacked?
Yeah, so what we try and do is to get out in front of that kind of stuff. Obviously, for maintenance clients, we do a pretty good job of making sure their stuff's locked down. For people who are just everyday users and, you know, don't use good security practices, what we really try and do is just educate first. I don't know that we've necessarily seen an increase. Obviously, we saw a big wave of hacks, you know, with all the brute force attacks a few months ago.
Oh, yeah. In fact, that's still going on from what I've read on various parts of the web.
Right. And so all we can really do there is kind of, you know, through our blog and the social channels, just get the word out from people who are doing a good job of being educators. But lots of times what we try and do, because, like, you'll see a blog post on, say, the Sucuri blog, for example. Like, generally, that's pretty high-level stuff. And so what we'll try and do is take, you know, take what they publish there, which is, you know, excellent stuff, but we try and make it, you know, we try and turn it into
an educational speak for the common layman.
Yeah, you know, we turn it into, you know, three tips to prevent this from happening instead of talking about all of the
SQL and vulnerability and injection.
The script kiddies who are out doing things and instead of all that kind of stuff.
So you know, over the past 2 years, there's been this notion of people coming out and saying that if you have a certain amount of plugins installed, you're just asking for disaster. However, within the past 2 years, there's been an opposite trend of thinking where it's not the number of plugins that are activated and in use on a particular website, but it's the quality of those plugins, the quality of the code. And I think Otto, one of the smartest WordPress guys I know, he has a ton of plugins, but most of his plugins that are activated on this site are just one line that change one thing. So would you guys agree to the notion of not plugin quantity that causes problems, but the quality of those plugins, the code in them?
Yes, 100%.
And how about you, Ryan?
Oh, yeah, that's not a question in my mind at all. We maintain sites for clients who have 80 plugins running. That's probably the most. But, you know, running 80 plugins and no performance bottlenecks, no security issues of any kind. And it's because when we push out when we set up a plugin and activate it on their site, we make sure we know it's getting set up. We don't just hit Google and download the first thing and call it good.
So a lot of what seems to have caused that is users that, of course, don't have coding ability. And so when they want a plugin that does something, they'll, you know, do a Google search, and the first thing that comes up that doesn't look off the wall horrible, they'll install it, and they'll keep installing them. And as the amount of plugins increases, the likelihood that one of them is going to be poorly coded, have a namespacing conflict, jQuery conflict, some other thing occurring, goes up tremendously.
Right.
So there's no initial qualifying of the plugin itself for many users. So it's just a percentage game after that. And once you get to a certain number, your stuff's going down.
Yeah, and I will say too, this is a really good opportunity to give a shout out to the plugin review team, because I've seen the overall quality increase over the past year and a half or 2 years. I think they're doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah, I know two people, that Pippin Williamson who's the author of the Easy Digital Downloads plugin, and Mika Epstein. Boy, I hope I got her name right. She's one of the other plugin reviewers, and I had the opportunity to kind of look over her shoulder as she was going through the plugin queue, and wow, I mean, she was just just ripping off things that people were doing wrong and responding to everyone who was going through, reviewing the code, saying blah 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 blah. Okay, that looks good, and okay, you are enqueuing three different scripts from three different places. What a bad no-no! You can't do that. And between her and Pippin, they're doing a really great job of, and this is all volunteer based, by the way.
Right.
They're acting as gatekeepers for the code that ends up on the plugin repository. And yeah, like you said, they're doing a great job.
Yep, they are my heroes.
So, so on the subject of web hosting, I was reading the WP SiteCare blog, and I read a post where you guys stated that WordPress.org should stop endorsing Bluehost. And Bluehost, now the first question I have is, has Bluehost become that bad that you strongly feel that WordPress.org should not be endorsing them anymore?
Yeah, so just a disclaimer, Rami had no part in that. I'll take the full brunt. I'll take the full brunt of the post. And I do feel that way. And it's actually kind of a hard thing for me, because I actually know it's just up the road from me, their main data center. And so it's kind of hard for me, because I actually know people personally who work there. And so in a way, that post was a lot harder to write than I wanted it to be. But if you want to talk about an increase in support tickets and a decrease in performance based strictly around Bluehost, that's something I could talk to you about for a while.
Oh,
the main thing I wanted to point out in the post there was the endorsement from .org. If it were a matter of Bluehost saying, you know, if WordPress.org came out and said, you know, we get millions of dollars from Bluehost every single year, and it supports the community, and they sponsor all these WordCamps, and so we're going to give them prime real estate on our site because of all of the support they offer the community, I would have zero problem with that in any way. I would have no problem with that at all. The issue I had comes from the rousing endorsement of Bluehost as one of, I can't remember exactly how it's worded, but basically one of the premier WordPress hosts, and it's just not the case. They're not doing a good job there, and a big part of it has to do with business decisions that's way above, you know, way above the control of the developers and the tech support there. But the fact of the matter is Bluehost isn't doing a good job. And so for .org to send beginners there as, you know, a place that's going to be great for you, I think is misleading. And that's kind of what led me to write the post.
Yeah, in fact, I'm on the WordPress.org / hosting site right now, and they have three different hosting companies on this page, and the Bluehost is actually highlighted in a yellow color, so it kind of sticks out more than all the others. And, you know, it says WordPress auto-install, new WordPress updates are made available within 24 hours, unlimited disk storage, unlimited monthly data transfer, host unlimited domains, free control panel, free simple scripts, okay, blah, 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 and then you can find forum threads about Bluehost on WordPress.org. This page was created a few years ago, if I remember correctly. And at the time, I think Bluehost was one of the premier, you know, they were doing things right. And I think they had an endorsement from Matt Mulloway himself, because Matt works, you know, the guys involved with WordPress work with a number of different hosting companies all the time. And I think they noticed that Bluehost was one of the few that were doing things right or had the right setup. However, I actually think that what I took from your post is I think there should be whoever's in charge of this post, and it's probably very low on their priority list because they probably just want to make WordPress software you know, as good as it can be, but I think there should be a period where at least once a year these hosts or anything that's endorsed from WordPress.org should be audited. Maybe at least once a year. At least once a year to just kind of figure out, okay, well, are they still meeting the standards? Are they still meeting a certain point where endorsing them is the right way to go about it? And I don't think these hosts have changed. I don't think these have changed over the past couple of years, but then again, I haven't monitored the specific page, but there's definitely companies out there that are deserving to be on this page. And whether it's Bluehost or not, I don't know, but you know, at least somebody should be auditing this page to make sure that whatever it is they're endorsing, it meets the quality standards, because if WordPress.org is endorsing it, then that must mean it's going to work, it's going to be great, and there's not going to be any problems. At least that's how I'd see it if I was a new user.
Yeah, and that's exactly what my point was. We've just had so many people come to us saying, you know, I found this recommendation right on WordPress.org, and now, you know, my site's getting throttled, and I can't, you know, the Bluehost live chat has a 45-minute wait, and, you know, all of these things. And when I can talk to them, they still can't resolve my issue. And so, like, I understand that it's a pain point, but like I said, even if there was some kind of disclaimer saying, you know what, we're giving Bluehost this spot because of the other ways that they support the community and not directly because they're necessarily the best host, I would be fine with that too. I actually emailed the post to Matt himself, and just because the post probably wasn't worded in a way that was very approachable from Matt, and he never replied. So, and I don't necessarily blame him, just because it was kind of, I don't know, I could have been more careful with my words, but I still feel like that site could that page could definitely use either some updating or some QA every now and again.
So Phil McDonald in the chat room is asking, how are they getting endorsed, or is it just throwing money around?
Well, if you look at WordCamps, they're generally a top level
sponsor.
They're generally a top level sponsor for almost all of them, and so they're obviously giving a lot of money to foundation to fund those WordCamps. Another thing is that affiliate link itself. I mean, Bluehost has a very strong affiliate program, $65 per referral, no caps. And so I'm sure just the link itself brings in thousands and thousands of dollars every month.
Maybe we can find out a way how we can redirect the affiliate link to our accounts.
That's something I'd like to work on. Yeah, let's figure that out. Retire in the Bahamas and be done.
And Phil is asking, does DreamHost still have their proprietary control panel? And I don't have any access to the control panel on my DreamHost account because the tech team does that for me. I don't have to worry about it. My job is to just create content. So
they do.
Awesome.
They still have the proprietary one.
Okay.
That's Unix based. They do.
And WP Tavern used to be hosted on HostGator, which, according to the chat room, I think HostGator was merged into Bluehost, or Bluehost was merged into HostGator, and now they're all under the same company, and accounts are merged together. But I just ran into some issues with HostGator that drove me nuts. The knowledge is publicly available on WP Tavern if you take a look and do a search. And I had actually moved from HostGator to DreamHost after 2 years. And hey, ever since I'm endorsing them, but ever since I moved to DreamHost, everything has been smooth. It's been a great experience being on DreamHost/DreamPress. So getting back to web hosting in general, can you give us an overview of web hosting in general, considering the number of clients you help on different server environments? Have you run into is there a specific host that you guys love working with because they have things set up in a way that makes supporting clients very easy, or do all web host companies, do they all suck? None of them stands out one above the other.
Well, there's definitely different levels. Rob from Fat Media will attest to my my Skype rants about hosting in general. not necessarily saying that I can that I could do it better, but it's definitely a pain point in general, even up to the managed level. We do support clients on probably over 40 different hosts right now, and so we have, you know, from real life experience, we kind of have a gauge of who's doing well and who's doing not, and it does change from time to time. I mean, that's why I have a hard time differentiating blog posts. Like, you see blog posts that sing the praises of one host, and then they put four affiliate links in it. and then you see another post saying, I hate X web host. And, you know, it's kind of hard to differentiate and figure out where the truth really lies there, because how much of it was the user's fault that, you know, their site kept going down. Or so I kind of take all of those things with a little bit of a grain of salt. And one thing we've tried to do is to actually use real measurements to monitor how different web hosts are doing. And so, like, completely unbiased stuff. We're collecting data about support. Like, support's actually a really tough thing to measure, but we think that we're gathering enough from all of our different interactions to publish something good that way coming down the road. We already published our shared hosting performance article.
I was going to ask you about that. You guys recently had a survey, and you showed off the performance of seven of the top WordPress hosting companies compared together, which generated a lot of conversation, I noticed, on that post. And speaking of that survey, can you tell us how the test was generated and what kind of results you got? Because I think there were some issues there with GoDaddy, and then there's DNS issues with a different host.
Right. So DNS issue that's mentioned in the blog post was 100% my fault. I ran the benchmark test before DNS had propagated, so the results were screwed. But I ran it again and published the real results. So what I tried to do, and figuring out how to run all these different benchmarks and keeping the test as consistent as possible is actually pretty involved. But what I did is I ran all of the tests through different subdomains of the same domain so that the distance they were traveling was similar. And then I would find out where the host was actually located physically, and then all of the tests were run from about 2,500 miles, from servers about 2,500 miles from wherever the site was hosted, so that distance and latency that way was consistent. And basically what we do, we have this third-party service called Load Impact, and it fires up an Amazon server and incrementally sends up to 50 users, concurrent users, so which is a decent little level of traffic. That's probably 10,000 visits a month. And it sends 50 users and then benchmarks that process over 10 minutes and kind of measures the performance throughout. So the issue with GoDaddy was that they are using a security measure called Sentinel, and they have the threshold set way too low. at 25 users, the site basically shuts off because they consider it a DOS attack. And I talked to them about that, and they actually had some questions and feedback about that. And so, wow. Yeah, so that was GoDaddy. And the Site 5 benchmark I ran before DNS propagated, but even when I ran the tests after, they still performed really well. A Small Orange and Site 5 performance-wise were really good.
Awesome. So we could talk about WordPress team. I just managed to do a first. I combined WordPress and hosting into one word. That was awesome. Somebody saved that and put that onto the best of highlight reel for WordPress Weekly. That was crazy. we could talk about hosting all night, but the bottom line is if you type in hosting company into Google and then type in the word sucks after it, you'll see that almost every company sucks. It's just like the luck of the draw. Yep. The only thing you can do about picking a web hosting company is do as much research as you can and then just kind of have that feeling or thought in the back of your head that you could be the user that ends up having all the trouble, because that's how I go about it. Because you know, you hear from all these people saying, "Hey, this web host is awesome. I've never had a problem." You sign up, guess what? You're the one that has all the problems. So I mean, it's a really crazy way of doing things with choosing a web hosting company.
Yeah.
But you know, WordPress is supposed to be easy to install and easy to use. And because of the needs for services such as WP SiteCare, do you think that plays down the ease of use slogan for WordPress? The notion that WP SiteCare even exists and there's a strong need for your service to exist. I mean, does it downplay how easy WordPress is supposed to be?
I'll let you field that, Ron. I've talked too much.
Well, WordPress is an amazingly powerful platform. So there are infinite use cases. Combining that with the complexities of different servers and varying levels of performance with that, things can get pretty hairy. So it's good to know. It's good to have an informed, experienced person or team in this case that can quickly answer a question or debug something or be able to say, hey, you're on this host. This is likely the issue. Instead of digging into it yourself a lot of times.
So
yeah, it's an interesting thing, too. I think WordPress I know that WordPress is awesome, but I think in some ways we do market the one-click install WordPress is easy thing a little too much. You know, underneath WordPress is CSS and PHP and JavaScript and a MySQL database, and people jump into website ownership without really understanding any of that. And it's not like you have to know how to code to run a WordPress site, right? But understanding that the underlying structure is actually there in the first place is probably a good starting point for people.
Totally. Running WordPress is super easy. Installing WordPress is easy. Maintaining WordPress is easy. Maintaining WordPress with 37 custom post types and 48 plugins is a little different.
Yeah, not my cup of tea, I tell you that. So how do you... This is an interesting question. At least I think so. How do you guys handle support for commercial themes and plugins? Do you guys actually support those, or do you forward them back to their vendor for support?
Well, it kind of depends. And that's the answer. That's the official answer. We do a lot of premium plugin support. In fact, our approach to support in general is to do everything in our power to resolve the issue before we send them somewhere else. So there's a lot of times when we're working out specific plugin issues and we've talked to plugin and theme authors about specific issues that we've found, but our approach is to really do everything in our power. We never have a response of, oh, well, the issues with Gravity Forms, not bad mouthing Gravity Forms, just saying as an example because it's popular. But, you know, we never say it's X plugin, you need to go figure it out with them.
You just made me realize I have never opened a support ticket for Gravity Forms.
Wow. So Ryan badmouth Gravity Forms. No, not really. And then he praised them. So I find that to be interesting because I initially thought you guys would answer that you do not answer commercial plugin and theme support requests because there are already support infrastructures in place at the vendors of those things to get support. So, and it also kind of confuses me as to why they would not use those avenues for support and go to you guys to get support. And the only reason why I would think they would do that is because they obtained the commercial themer plugin in a means that doesn't allow them to get support from their vendors.
Well, there is certainly premium support channels for a lot of plugins, especially, if, of course, the best ones. But how do you explain to someone that just wants their awesome cooking blog to work that now they have to write someone else and tell them that one of their filters in this one file doesn't have a priority set high enough and the hook that it's referencing is causing the site to go down? That means absolutely nothing to most of these people. So whenever possible, we'll do that legwork.
Definitely, yeah. It doesn't mean that we never send them. So to address the first part, you know, that they obtained it, you know, in a sketchy way or whatever, a lot of times I think it's a lot more innocent than that. Like, a lot of the customers that we've serviced were kind of their point of contact at this point, right? And so they don't even think to, you know, look for premium plugin support. And there are definitely, so they come to us and they come and they ask us the question, and if we can resolve it for them, we will. The thing that lots of times will open tickets in their behalf, if it is something, you know, if it is something that's a plugin issue, and yeah, kind of like Rami was saying, people don't like to be sent somewhere else to solve a problem, even if that's maybe the proper way to do it. When somebody has an issue with their website, they want it to get fixed, and they come to us, and we do everything we can to get it fixed.
Now, have you seen that you're doing a lot of support for commercial themes and plugins, or is it mostly free stuff you're doing support for?
That's a good question. There are, you know, most of the premium stuff we get requests for is generally customization based.
Oh, okay.
You know, extending a plugin some way or configuring it or that kind of thing. There are a few that we get somewhat repeated requests about, but nothing, you know, nothing too crazy. So I would say it's generally more frequently it's more frequently what we help people with is a bad recipe of plugins, you know, a bad combination and running into issues that way. And so it's kind of a mix of all of it.
So okay, so considering the different WordPress community sites on the web and the WordPress.org support forums from which to get free support from, what is the benefit to purchasing a plan through WP SiteCare? And that, whether that's one benefit or obviously from what I've seen from the pricing structure, there are multiple benefits to purchasing a plan through WP SiteCare. But in your opinion, if there's all these different channels out there that for free support, what do you think what pushes a client or customer or user to go through you guys instead of opting to go the free support route?
Immediacy.
Okay.
Like
right now, okay, I could contact these guys, get it fixed right now instead of having to wait all night for a forum response, something like that.
Yeah, if you get a another thing is even if you do get a forum response, like I love everybody's contributions to the free support forums, but half of our customers wouldn't know what in the hell to do with the response, right? So,
right.
Part of it is education. Part of it is a business owner who's running some kind of production site doesn't have the luxury of waiting for free support. If they need something fixed, they need it fixed right away. And then, yeah, I mean, obviously, we do all of the other preventative maintenance work too on their behalf. But I think on a premium side, I'll tell you right now that free support will die at some point. It can only last for so long, and that's always a big discussion, right?
Right.
So that at some point that will go that will go away, and we're actually exploring a lot of different ways we can facilitate moving away from that model for the different plugin and theme shops. But there are, those are the main reasons, right? People just need a dedicated person or group of people that they can go to and say, this is broken, make it work.
So, Rami, I think you're in the trenches all the time. Do you have a specific list of things that you go through for each client in order to determine what their problem is and how to fix it, or is it different for each problem you encounter with a client?
Generally, yeah, it's different each time because it's a different host. There's different plugin combinations. It's a different theme. But there's a lot of higher-level stuff that I'll look at. Like, I'll skim over common culprits quickly. Like, I'll look at, say, there's a console error for jQuery and WP-Admin. Well, the first thing I'll do is look at what are the most bloaty-looking plugin settings on the site and take a look and make sure they're localizing when they need to, using WP and KeyScript, doing is admin checks and stuff like that, and just work down the list using prior experience to shave down how much time it's taking me to find the actual problem.
Is something like WP Debug your best friend?
Oh, yeah. It's got to be on locally, not on a production, obviously. But, WP Debug, turning script concatenation off and on, all that stuff. Keeping the developer plugin active for a variety of local Vagrant instances. ServerPress is my best buddy recently.
All right, so Rob, we have one user submitted question here. Rob from Fant Media has this question. He wants to know, what's the most ridiculous support request you've ever received and actually completed? I believe this can go to both of you since you both do support.
Yeah, I actually have a great answer for this one. And this one was completely my fault. I was totally naive, and it ended up biting me in the ass. But what happened, we had a service early on when we were trying to grab new maintenance customers. We were offering free WordPress and plugin updates, like, send us your credentials, we'll get your site up to date. And then it was basically a lead to pitch you on our maintenance services so you don't have to worry about it again, right?
Right.
So this was just June last year, so we were probably, I don't know, WordPress 3.1.2, something like that. And the 2.5 site came through with custom plugins that hadn't been updated in well over a year, but I promised the service. And so it literally, I think it took me 30 hours to...
boy, they got a bargain, didn't they?
Yeah, I think it took me 30 hours to upgrade the person's site.
Wow.
And the response after I kind of gave them a laundry list of everything that I had gone through and debugged and fixed and rewritten and everything, their response was, great, see ya.
Oh, ouch. Like, oh, that had to hurt.
It didn't feel that good. And, that was literally the last time I ever heard from him.
Oh, man. Is that the last time you guys ever ran that special?
Yeah, it stopped. Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine if you guys continued on that path, you wouldn't be around anymore. That's one way to go out of business.
Right.
All right, Rami, so your turn. What's the most ridiculous support request you've ever received and actually completed?
Well, it's in the front of my mind. I will not forget it for a long time. And, you know, several years in WordPress development, but the craziest one by far is earlier this summer. So I was doing overflow for a local agency, and they said they're having conflicts with WordPress and Drupal being installed on the same server. So I'm like, okay, I'm guessing they have two different domains or whatever. So they're having a lot of permalink issues, file permissions issues, just really bizarre security-related stuff going on between the two sites. So sparing all the boring details, they had a Drupal installation in the WP content folder.
Oh, come on, man. Are you serious?
Yep. End of sentence.
Oh, boy. That's...
This is a ridiculous email thread, dude. So I'm explaining the... I don't know. I don't recall how far I got into explaining it, but I'm trying to convince them to let me remove Drupal and install it somewhere else and blah, blah, blah. And I ended up actually losing that client because they wouldn't do that.
I mean, oh, wow. I mean, that's the first time I've ever heard of a Drupal being installed in the WP.
Yeah.
That's hilarious, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't even know.
I mean, that must be crazy to come across those things at your job. But, I mean, to see something like that, to discover something like that, to just sit back and say, wow. You know, I never thought, I know this is a crazy job, but is that something you ever thought you'd come across?
It doesn't seem like something that could happen accidentally. Like someone consciously made the decision to put it there.
And as Frank the Builder eloquently put it in the chat room, oh my God, no way. Well, before I let you two go and we get on with enjoying this weekend of ours, I'll start with Rami first and then Ryan. I want you to give us one tip or maybe a few tips for anybody listening out there who ends up getting into some trouble with WordPress. I know the easy way out would be to contact you guys and give you some coin, but maybe you can give us just a few tips, troubleshooting tips, on maybe how some of us could solve some of these problems on our own.
Update your permalinks, deactivate plugins, change to a default WordPress theme.
Wow. Boy, that was quick. You're not messing around. All right, how about you, Ryan?
So a couple of things. There's a couple different things I would kind of recommend. There's a WordPress plugin in the repository called Safe Mode, and if you activate that plugin, it actually allows you to add a URL string to the end of your domain name or any page, and see the behavior with all plugins deactivated and with the default theme activated. So you can immediately eliminate plugin and theme issues, like if they're the culprit or not, simply by turning that on and adding the URL string. So that's a pretty cool one. It's called Safe Mode. It literally works pretty much the same way that Windows Safe Mode does, right?
Excellent.
So there's one. Norcross just released a plugin that...
Look at this. We already know what you're going to say. I was going to ask you, have you guys taken a look at the system snapshot plugin he created?
Yeah, he sent me one of the very early versions. So I've been using it for a while, and it does a great job of collecting all of that, all that pertinent site info and a lot of things about the PHP config and a lot of things that way that can help diagnose issues. And there's a few premium plugins that kind of have that built into a similar functionality. Backup Buddy, I know they have a similar setup that allows you to just like collect all the server data and pass it to their support. And it's something that we're gonna seriously look at rolling out to all of our maintenance clients, so that they can, when they do submit a support ticket, they can. I mean, obviously we have access anyway, but so potentially they could just. We're trying to figure out a way that they could pass us that directly without really having to do much at all, kind of a send from snapshot, if you will.
So, right. Awesome stuff, guys. Before I let you go, tell us once again who you are, where we can find you on Twitter, and tell us if you have any specials going on for WPSiteCare.com. If not, maybe do you plan on having some in the future? I'm sure some listeners here would like to know. And I'll start off with Rami.
Sure. I'm on Twitter at Rami Abraham. I would like to mention that Ryan and I are both speaking at two different WordCamps on the same weekend. The weekend,
excellent.
21st next month, Baltimore and Salt Lake City. Should be pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yep, and I'm Ryan Don Sullivan on Twitter, D-O-N Sullivan on Twitter. And we actually were able to sponsor both of those same WordCamps. It's our two hometowns, so it made a lot of sense for us. So that was exciting. As far as upcoming stuff goes, we've got two pretty big things in the works. Well, one's on the verge of rolling out, but we are essentially going to roll out a marketplace for common issues, and so kind of an a la carte menu for I need a migration done, or I need a security audit, or whatever that is. That'll be rolling out on our site very soon, powered by Easy Digital Downloads.
Oh, there you go, Pippin, getting another plug.
And hey, I'll plug his stuff all day. I won't ever get tired of that. And the other thing is, we have a new site design in the works too. So that's another exciting thing for us. That'll kind of facilitate going through that whole support process a little bit easier, I think.
Excellent. I want to thank you, too, for spending some of your Friday evening with me and telling us all about WP Site Care and giving us some tips on how to troubleshoot some issues that we come across on our WordPress sites if we should be unlucky to come across those. I thought it was a great interview, and you guys are dealing with stuff every day on an everyday basis, and how you manage to find that stuff fun, I don't know. But you guys are doing an awesome job, and the best of luck to you guys, and hope you guys are around for the next 5 years, or just like WordPress, the next 10 years. So that was my guest for tonight, Rami Abraham and Ryan Sullivan of WP Site Care. Check out the site if you're having extensive problems, or you need a 24/7 on-call type support person or company to help you out, and you're experiencing just problems all the time. That's what these guys are there for. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. Speaking of the show, in fact, if I take a look here, next week on September 6th, we're going to be talking about search with SwiftType. SwiftType is a search plugin that I've used to replace the built-in search in WordPress, which sucks. But SwiftType is just an awesome plugin. I like the auto suggest that it performs, and we're just going to be talking about how hard search is. Why is it that maybe the WordPress search sucks and so many different people are looking for alternatives? You know, it's not going to be a giant Swift Tech commercial, so you don't have to worry about that, but I'm really looking forward to the show, and that's going to be next Friday at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, September 6th. We're going to be talking about SwiftType. So with that, I want to wish everybody a safe and enjoyable weekend, and I'll speak to you guys next Friday. Until then, have a good one.